When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
So you're wondering if your best money move is to actually buy something now but pay for it later. It's one of the hottest things going in retail right now. Anna Maria Andriotis from the Wall Street Journal joins me now. She has written a new story about this for the Journal. Anna Maria, welcome to Your Money Matters.
Great to be speaking with you.
It's really nice to have you here today. So let's, for everybody, so everybody gets on the same page, let's start with what exactly is buy here, pay later? What is that whole concept?
Sure. So buy now, pay later generally comes in two flavors. Regardless of which type we're talking about, the concept is that you are making a purchase, you're taking the product home with you, but you are not paying for the full purchase price at that moment. Instead, you are splitting up the purchase price into equal installments. So one flavor of this is basically called pay in four, which means that every 2 weeks, your debit card or your credit card are charged for the purchase. So if it's at a $100 item, every 2 weeks, you have $25 that is charged to your debit or credit. And by the fourth payment, you've paid for that item in full, though you've had it already for several weeks. The other flavor of this is essentially a loan, often for several months, that requires a fixed monthly payment. But the general premise of these plans is that they're positioned in a way to essentially incentivize people to make purchases that might otherwise seem too expensive for them to afford if they were to have to make that purchase in full.
So what's interesting about these is this, to me, is not, and maybe this is just showing my age, this is not really a new concept, right? I mean, haven't we seen this before where you could just sort of put some money down and eventually take the item home? Or is the innovation that you get to take the item home today and then spread out the payments afterwards?
Well, many people in the payment sector who have been in it for decades say the very same thing that you just said, which is this really isn't a new concept. There have been layaway plans. One can argue even the credit cards work that way, where you don't need to make your payment in full from the get-go when you buy the product and take it home. Really, the difference this time around is that these buy now, pay later plans are mostly being made available by fintech companies that have seen rapid growth over the last 5 years, in particular, really over the last 2.5 years, as merchants have been looking, especially with the pandemic, when it was in its early stages, and merchants were looking for ways to increase their sales. This is a product that they turn to, so that right now it's difficult, if not impossible, to be at a checkout page online of a major merchant and not see at least one of these options available. Whereas in the past, decades ago, yes, these types of payment plans were available, but they were more customized and offered directly by a particular merchant or by a lender that merchant was working for. Right now, they're pretty much at most merchants, at least large merchants' checkout pages.
I want to ask you some questions about this because what's really interesting to me, there's so many different ways to talk about this, you know, that now this is so when it started, everybody was like, hey, this isn't even tied to credit. So you're actually getting credit for free. We're not charging you an interest rate. Buy now and you pay later over time. It's just broken up. There are no extra fees, nothing, because the merchants were all paying money to these different companies. They're called Klarna and Affirm. And, you know, maybe there's another one out there.
Afterpay. Those would be the three biggest in the
right,
U.S.
Afterpay. Yes. Correct. And so, you know, they were doing this to, you know, show people that this is just great. And then all of a sudden, the three credit reporting bureaus announced that they would be monitoring those payments as part of your credit reporting. Is that, I want to talk about this. We have to take a short break. But when we come back, I want to talk about whether this is going to be a profound change for this. And actually, what happens next with these companies? Because what I thought was so interesting about your story is that in the Wall Street Journal, you wrote this long story about this, is that there are, as deals are, you know, these companies are starting to merge, that some are falling out, that there may be a real problem with how these companies are going to actually make the promise come real and yet make some money back for their investors on the other side. We're talking to Anna Maria Andriotis. She is with the Wall Street Journal, and she's been writing about buy now, pay later companies such as Affirm, Afterpay, and Klarna, all of which promised a credit revolution that would change the way that you pay for things by literally paying for them over time. But rising delinquencies and a slowing economy are clouding that outlook now, and the companies could be getting in trouble. Meanwhile, they're now reporting to the credit reporting bureaus. So things that weren't supposed to hit your credit now are. Anna Maria, tell me a little bit more about some of these challenges that are facing these companies.
So these companies came to be during a period of time when delinquencies, essentially missed payments by consumers, were very low. If anything, they fell even lower during the pandemic, something that played out with many types of consumer debts. So what's been playing out over the last year, more so over the last 6 months, has been an increase in missed payments in the sector. And that's raising questions. Quite frankly, some of these questions have been around for a few years, but the increase in delinquencies is kind of bringing these back to the surface again. Specifically, what types of consumers are these companies approving for payment plans and extending credit to? You mentioned earlier about whether or not this is actually credit. Well, while some of these payment plans, like Afterpay, for example, are tied directly to consumers' debit or credit card, so for consumers, it doesn't feel like they're signing up for a new loan. The other types of buy now, pay later plans, including a type that Affirm often offers, are actual loans in pretty much the traditional sense. So essentially what these companies really kind of became popular for doing is their claim for many years was that, look, we can approve people for payment plans that would otherwise have difficulty getting approved for credit cards or other traditional forms of credit because, depending on the company, some, like Affirm, were saying that we check people's credit reports to make decisions about whether or not to lend to them, but they're not the be-all, end-all, and we factor in other data, kind of essentially having its own secret sauce for who to approve for credit. Others, like Afterpay for a very long time until recently, were not checking credit reports at all. The result is that a greater share of subprime consumers apply for this type of credit for buy now, pay later payment plans than account for essentially the overall U.S. adult population. This is according to recent data from credit reporting from TransUnion. So we're seeing delinquencies rising. At the same time, most of these companies are not banks, which means that in order to extend credit and originate new payment plans for consumers, these companies themselves need to be able to borrow at low interest rates. And they do borrow from a variety of investors and lenders. Okay, so that's all great when you are in a low interest rate environment. But we are essentially moving away from that. The Federal Reserve has been raising rates. And so essentially the cost of borrowing for these companies is also rising. Depending on the company, they do have exposure, in some cases a big amount of exposure, to loans at variable interest rates, essentially meaning that their cost of borrowing rises even during the duration of some of these loans as interest rates continue to rise.
So that's going to become unaffordable pretty quickly, I would think, for them, because interest rates have really aren't heading down anytime soon. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, so the companies have put into place different measures to try to offset the rising cost of borrowing. But regardless of the measures, yes, I mean, ultimately what's at risk here is that the cost of borrowing will become higher for these companies. And then that raises questions of what will the knock-on effect be? Will it mean potentially that down the road, borrowing from these companies could become costlier? You know, some of these companies, like Afterpay, for example, don't charge consumers interest rates, but they do charge late fees. Other companies like Affirm, if you get the typical type of loan from Affirm that lasts a few months, those do come with interest rates. So might the terms change? Might borrowing or just the cost of these payment plans for consumers become costlier? Another thing that we're seeing really at this point, there's already some evidence of it, is companies that are essentially slowing down or planning on slowing down new originations, slowing down how much of credit they're extending to consumers. So this is something that is already playing out with buy now, pay later companies like Zip and Afterpay. Both have essentially are moving in a direction in which they are slowing new originations.
You know, there are other sorts of companies coming in from Australia and other places in Europe where they are making a play for the employer marketplace as a benefit, where employees can pay $7.95 a month, and they will take any debt that you have up to, I don't know how much it is, $1,500 or something, and they will pay it for you. And as long as you're carrying that cost of $7.95 a month, you can pay out the $1,500 over time, and they deduct it straight from your paycheck. And it's interesting to kind of look at that model as well as being something that's up and coming. One of the companies that I'm thinking of, it's called Deferit. They told me a couple of weeks ago they already had 30,000 people in the U.S. that were paying them $7.95 a month. And I thought, hey, I want that business model. That's not a bad business model. So I haven't verified it, so I have no way of knowing if that's true or not. But it's interesting to watch more and more people, even as the amount of credit that is out there right now is back at all-time highs for credit extended, watch people look for other ways to buy things now and pay for them later.
Well, that's correct. There have been some pretty big swings in the availability of credit for consumers since the pandemic began. When the pandemic first began, there was a sharp pullback in the availability of new loans and credit cards made available to consumers because the fear among lenders was the unemployment rates had skyrocketed. And typically when that happens, delinquencies surge. But that didn't happen. And as more and more months passed where delinquencies for some lenders remained steady and for others actually decline, lenders basically looked at increasing new loan originations, increasing lending, building back their loan books that had seen a slowdown or even a decline in balances during the early stage of the pandemic. And basically the thought process among lenders has been, in some cases continues to be, that as long as the unemployment rate remains low and the job market is strong, they expect that overall loan performance, overall delinquencies of consumers won't rise, or at least won't rise much. So the big bet right now, as lending remains strong in many consumer loan categories, is the job market. And as long as that remains good, consumers will be able to make their payments on time. However, there definitely has been a ramping up of borrowing by U.S. consumers. So it'll be interesting to see how these dynamics play out going forward.
Absolutely. Anna Maria Andriotis is a reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Thank you so much for joining us today. I really appreciated it.
Great to be speaking with you. Thanks so much.